In today's gospel, Jesus calls Peter and his partners, James and John, to follow him to fish for people. Jesus teaches the people from Peter's boat, demonstrating his authority to be a successful teacher as all the crowds thronged around him. Then this carpenter has the nerve to say to professional fishermen, "Put out to deep sea to catch more fish." Peter's initial response was skeptical and says, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing." Basically, we've been there, done that. Then Peter, as he usually does, gives in and bows to Jesus' authority and does what he's asked, taking the boat out into the lake. So many fish are caught that the nets are at the point of breaking, and they need another boat to come along and help them get the nets up and haul in all the fish. The writer Luke uses a Greek word to describe the multitude of the fish that Luke will repeatedly use in his writing in the Acts of the Apostles. That word is polus. It is used by Luke in the gospel to describe the multitude of the people that will be caught in the story, just like he used it to describe the fish. Polus is related to the word polis, which is Greek for city or state. It's the root of our word politics, which unfortunately these days conjures up negative connotations. Yet the word simply is meant to express the sense of a body of people, a multitude that makes up communities of the world, and how we structure ourselves in society. In this gospel, Luke sets the stage for the use polus that we find in the Acts of the Apostles, in which his disciples are sent as apostles into the world to preach the gospel to the polus, the many, the multitude. Like the nets which overflowed with fish, this is how it was when the apostles of Jesus truly preached the gospel through their lives. When the gospel is truly preached, people experience its power and are naturally drawn to it. That's how Jesus taught when he was on earth. That's what the early church did when it grew and spread throughout the empire. And that's how people are drawn to become part of the body of Christ, faithful even today. So the call of Peter, James, and John illustrates our own call to cast out into the deep waters of our world and to not be afraid of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in our day-to-day lives. And I'm going to share a current story that illustrates this plainly. It embarrassed a couple of our parishioners who were at the 8 o'clock service, but it's a powerful example of how evangelism, the sharing of the good news of Christ, works in real-life situations. As I shared a week ago, a man who never set foot in this church died, and I did his funeral at Potter's Funeral Home in Willimantic. His name was John Powell, and his wife is Linda, who came here just a couple of times. John was diagnosed with cancer over a year ago and has been in home and hospice for most of that time. How is it that I ended up doing his funeral? And that's the story I want to share and how it links to our gospel today. John and Linda met Chuck and Marcia Eaton at a pizza restaurant where they would occasionally go. Eventually, this casual acquaintance turned into a friendship simply by running into each other on several occasions. John and Linda saw something special about Marcia and Chuck. I imagine they talked about all of kinds of life issues, Marcia at the time caring for her mother Barbara, who ironically died a year ago yesterday, and John wrestling with his own cancer, and caring for their three grandchildren following the death of their daughter a few years back. In time, the relationship led deeper to a place in which John and Linda asked Marsha and Chuck about their faith and their faith community. John and Linda must have seen something special radiating out of Marsha and Chuck that led them to ask this question as part of their friendship. They could see God in them and ask about their faith and where they worshiped. They saw the Christ that is alive in Chuck and Marsha as engaged members of the wider Hebron community, and more specifically as members of this community of St. Peter's. As I said at John's funeral this week, John knew his time on earth was ending, and he wanted to find a community where Linda would experience love and support. Marsha came to see me some months ago to ask if I would stop by and visit John and Linda, which I did and continue to visit these past several months, the last time just before Christmas. When Linda came to St. Peter's a couple of times in the fall, John was simply too sick to come. When John died, one of Linda's first calls was to Marsha, who called me. Realizing that Linda did not have a strong support system at this time in her life, I asked if Marsha could use her network to provide food for the luncheon after the funeral. And many of you responded in your normal, generous, and thoughtful way and said yes to Marsha's appeal. And the family and their friends were given hospitality at a time when they needed it most and did not know where to turn. My friends, often we hear that word evangelism and it scares us. We think it means somehow going and knocking on doors with a Bible in one hand. Yet evangelism simply means sharing the good news of Christ as we've experienced it in our lives. I'm fond of a quote some attribute to St. Francis to underscore this point. Francis is thought to have said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." The story I shared about John and Linda and Marsha and Chuck illustrates how our lives are a book for the world to read each and every moment. Every interaction we have, every word we speak sends a message into the world, to the polis. We bear witness to Christ in our lives by the choices we've made day after day, year after year that have molded us. It simply radiates out from us, or it doesn't radiate outward. I had a boss who used to say, "You are either moving forward or backward. There's no such thing as standing still." Our witness to our faith is the same. People literally notice if our faith has had an impact in our lives or not. The message of who we are and who we've become throughout our lives is simply evident for all to see. We cannot hide who we really are. While this idea seems to put more stock in actions than speaking, that's not completely what Francis intends. What we say and the words we use are a big part of how people experience the Christ who dwells in us. Each of us is invited to push out into deeper waters and lower our nets to fish for people and bring them to Christ by what we do and by what we say. I think most of the time what holds us back is that we're feeling unworthy. I'm not good enough to do this work. I don't have enough talents or gifts to respond to God's call. That's the problem Isaiah was having in our first reading, in which he heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And ultimately, Isaiah turned around and finally says, "Here am I, send me." I am convinced each of us has all that we need right now to preach the gospel, and when necessary, to use words and risk sharing the good news we've experienced in our own lives, sharing the stories of our lives, being transformed as followers of Jesus. And remember, my friends, we cannot hide. They're going to read the book of our lives anyway. So I leave you with this question and thought. What will people read when they open your book and you share your good news? Amen.